high desert from the great American Southwest on a really eerie night when the snow is falling. I'm sure you may have seen some of the pictures that have come from Las Vegas. That's right, it's snowing in the area. As a matter of fact, for any of you who happen to be on the highway between Las Vegas and Pahrump, you're in trouble because it's closed. Until, I guess, further notice or they get it plowed out or whatever. But the highway that goes from my little town of Pahrump to Las Vegas is closed. You've got to go over a 5,500-foot mountain, and it's snowed in, folks. So that's all she wrote for those who live in my little town. The only alternate way to get to Las Vegas is to go what we call the back way, out toward the Mercury test site. You leave Pahrump, go out toward the Mercury test site, and connect with 95 and go into Las Vegas that way. It's the long way, but if the mountain is closed, which it is right now, it's the only way. All right, let's look briefly at what's going on in the world. Never a totally pleasant task, I might add. Unwilling to concede defeat, congressional leaders expressed some hope Sunday that lawmakers might return next month to resolve, here they say it, a turf battle that has blocked passage of an overhaul of the nation's intelligence agencies. President Bush pledged to work with them for passage. Congressional leaders said prospects depended on just how successful the president would be in lining up support. Now, it's not going to be easy. I told you when I first heard about this, they would go berserk at the CIA and NSA and all the other lettered agencies. To have their power taken away is, well, unthinkable. And that's what happened to this. Now, officially, they sort of blamed it on the Pentagon, but they mentioned turf wars and all the rest of it. And that's really what's going on. You cannot go to these very powerful men who have built up virtual kingdoms within a republic, a democracy. And they have, too, the virtual kingdoms, and say, look, we're going to eclipse your power, and you're going to be reporting to somebody else now. It doesn't work that way. And so they went nuts, and they got the Republican side under the president to actually sweep this out from under the president. Whether he really wants it in his heart or not, I don't know. I'm talking about the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission, of course, for intelligence. I can't know how the president personally feels about it, but enough of the big guys managed to make phone calls, and this thing didn't happen. And that's just what I thought would happen. We'll see. Ron Artest was suspended for the rest of the season. That's a very serious thing to have done. And two of his Indiana Pacers teammates must miss a total of 55 games, a lot of bucks there, for fighting with fans, not supposed to do that, during a big fight broke out at the end of a game against the Detroit Pistons. You had to have seen the video 10 times over by now. You're not supposed to do that. Take swings at fans, taunted though you may be. Iraqi authorities said January 30th, that's going to be the big day, folks, when they're going to have something that approximates an election in Iraq. The first since the collapse of Saddam Hussein's dictatorship, where I suppose the elections, if they were held at all had Saddam's name pre-stamped on them. Trouble, though, a lot of trouble. A lot of people who don't want the elections will either boycott them or try to blow them up, no doubt. President Bush, trying to mend relations with Latin America, pledged Sunday to make a fresh push for stalled immigration reforms, and he defended the U.S. invasion of Iraq. He said, history will prove it right. While the Iraq war is widely opposed in Latin America, Bush said the U.S. will stay the course indeed and will complete the task. So history will prove it to be the right war. At the right time, I might add. Five shot in Wisconsin. Now, this is a pretty weird story. There was a guy out hunting, I guess. And, a dispute among deer hunters over a tree stand in northwestern Wisconsin erupted Sunday in a series of shootings. Hunters have guns. and five people left five dead and three injured. The alleged gunman, a man from the Twin Cities area, was arrested Sunday afternoon at the line between Rusk and Sawyer counties. Wow. I don't know what else you say to a story like that. A scientist flooded the Grand Canyon. Did you see the pictures of that? Oh, it was incredible when they opened up these giant valves. Anyway, it was all in an attempt to restore beaches, save fish and plants that actually have been disappearing since sediment-free water began flowing from a man-made dam 40 years ago. And so I guess it sort of ruined things. They decided they're going to let the water go, and we'll see how the experiment works. In a moment, we'll look at other news. By the way, my honor and privilege to be escorting you through this weekend. You may recall I complained bitterly about the ionosphere, not that it does any good, yesterday, and the very weird conditions that we were having. Well, believe it or not, as I was complaining for the first time in 6 weeks, it was actually clearing up last night. But here's what might account for it. The following is from NASA. The headline is Cracks in Earth's Magnetic Shield. Cracks! Now, you don't often hear a headline like that from NASA. But sub-headline is, immense cracks in our planet's magnetic field can remain open for hours, allowing solar wind to gush through and power stormy space weather. Earth is surrounded by a magnetic force field, a bubble, if you will, in space, called the magnetosphere, sending tens of thousands of miles wide, and many people don't even know it's there. The magnetosphere is familiar. It's a far-flung part of the same planetary magnetic field that deflects compass needles here on Earth, and it is important. The magnetosphere acts as a shield that protects us from solar storms. But according to some new observations from NASA's IMAGE spacecraft, and the joint NASA-European Space Agency cluster satellites, immense cracks sometimes develop in the Earth's magnetosphere and remain open for hours. This indeed allows the solar wind to gush through and power stormy space weather. We've discovered that our magnetic shield is, if you will, drafty, like a house with a window stuck open during a storm. That's a pretty good analogy. It's Harold Fraze of the University of California, Berkeley, lead author of a paper on this research, published December 4th in Nature. The house deflects most of the storm, but the couch is ruined. For example, our magnetic shield takes the brunt of space storms, but some energy slips through the cracks, sometimes enough to cause problems with satellite, radio communications, and power systems. So there you have it. That might be the answer to how, with everything else being equal and the numbers not supporting the really odd propagation we've been experiencing, that like a house with cracks, our magnetosphere has cracks. And it's letting these very fast solar winds zip in and scar the couch. White Horse. Scientists say that they found evidence the North has now become, get this, a source of atmosphere-warming carbon dioxide. Now, it used to be the opposite, folks. A new study from the Pew Center on Global Climate Change says the Arctic tundra is no longer absorbing carbon dioxide, but rather is now releasing it. Scientists have estimated that the soils in the Arctic have accumulated up to a third of the entire Earth's organic carbon. When the climate warms, carbon that had been locked in frozen peat and other permafrost zones is then released through melting. So, you see, that will hurry the process. instead of absorbing carbon for us, it's now releasing carbon and adding to the problem. So the problem is becoming exponentially worse. Urban legends, we hear plenty of those around the internet, eh? They're supposed to be legends, and that's all, right? But ask Jennifer Ward about the Florida skunk ape. She'll tell you. It's no legend. It's stepped out of the mists of myth and into reality for her. She said, quote, I never thought I'd see anything like that. I never thought anything like that was out there before. But I know there is now. Ward's encounter with the hairy creature came in August, about a week after Hurricane Charley, along a very rural stretch of Moore Road as she was driving home from a friend's house. Her daughters were asleep in the back seat. It was approaching dusk. She said, I noticed something in the ditch. I looked over. I guess it noticed me. It rose up, she said, complaining that the animal had been crouching when she first saw it. Its eyes went from serious, maybe it was getting frogs, she said. It was focused on something, she continued. When it saw me, he was surprised as I was. I slowed down just about to a stop. I didn't stop, though, because I was scared. It was almost dark, but I could see it and got a good look. Ward said the creature was 6 to 8 feet tall and covered with hair about 2 inches long. It was white around the eyes, but she did not notice any nose, didn't notice any ears, said the lips were full with the texture of a dog's paw pad. Its hands were drawn up next to its body. At first, she only told friends and family about what she saw. Finally, after a considerable time, she decided to go to the media. So there is yet another sighting. As you know, they've been happening a lot in Florida, and it seems the hurricane drives these things from their natural hidden habitats for whatever reason, probably just like the rest of us. Oh, my God, a hurricane. Let's get out of here. This is an interesting story from my point of view. Headline, NASA to analyze mysterious blasts. Now, I think most of us from time to time have wondered about the Big Bang, haven't you? I mean, from something smaller than a quark, something we cannot even measure, it's so tiny, came everything that now is. Kaboom! Some have suggested God blowing himself up. Well, it seems the cosmos is rocked almost daily by cataclysmic explosions brighter and more massive than anything since the Big Bang, which is thought to have given birth to all that is here now, the universe. These spectacular bursts of gamma rays are found in every part of the sky, linger from a fraction of a second to perhaps a couple of minutes in length. The amount of energy released is almost beyond comprehension. A light lasting several seconds contains more energy then our sun will emit during its entire 10 billion year lifetime. Now, the discovery of these incredible explosions way out there, to me, means perhaps the whole creation thing is ongoing. Maybe creation continues in ways and in times and space that we cannot yet understand. We just see these big energy releases. Well, maybe that's the energy of creation itself at work elsewhere and when. Wildcard Line, you are on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art. This is Jim. I've been listening for 10 years on KSFO 560 in San Francisco.
Welcome to the program, buddy.
I'm really honored to be able to ask you this question. I know you talk about Iraq a lot. I'm just wondering if we were, you know, given the benefit of hindsight, and if we were to time travel back to March of 2003, what would you have done? Given all, you know, given especially what we know now, maybe about the UN Oil for Food program affecting some of our diplomatic partners' thinking.
Well, I don't think that I would have felt any differently than I do now. I was opposed to what we did, as I'm sure you're well aware, before we did it. On the other hand, I've got to admit, if I'd been president of the U.S. and had the intelligence that they claim they had when they acted, then perhaps it looked justified. So I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how to answer that.
Then let me ask you this. Do you think that that there was a connection between terror and Saddam? And would, if so, would that have been...
I'm not asking
9/11 and Saddam. I'm asking generally.
My answer is I don't think there was much of a connection between Saddam and, you know, he was obviously a very, very bad person, and he could have had his hand in something or another, but I don't think he was any major player in what we were facing.
So did you follow the Charlie Dolfo report recently, the CIA guy?
Yes.
And the headline of the report that there was no WMD, but there was a lot of other information in there. And between that and also this Senate testimony for the Oil for Food program, they figured out that Saddam had pulled about $20 billion out of Oil for Food, and that they tracked the documents where at least a little bit of that money went to the Palestinians to buy arms against Israel. So
All right. Let's take that. Bad stuff, to be sure. Siphoning money off for arms, oil for food into arms or whatever. That's bad. Does it justify sending our young men and women off in a war to, you know, in harm's way to face death? I don't know.
Yeah, I see your point. I don't totally disagree with you. It's a tough call.
To me, a country goes to war when, for example, what we did in Afghanistan, totally justified. My God, they ran planes into those buildings, so they need to die, and the U.S. needs to be the hand that accomplishes that fact. So what we did in Afghanistan, very understandable. Al-Qaeda, wherever you find them, very understandable. The Iraq War in response to 9/11, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a red herring, though. I think that you might catch Dick Cheney here and there trying to imply that, but I think that 99% of the justification for the war had nothing to do with 9/11 specifically, but
yes,
the connection with terror in general. I really appreciate your time.
All right, and I appreciate your call. There's just not a lot of evidence of it. That's all. I'm sure that Saddam had his hand into whatever evil things he could, whether he was at the time a big player in terrorism that would have threatened the U.S., and that's really the key. I don't think the proof is certainly not there then. We now know that intelligence was flawed, and I don't think our experience thus far in Iraq has nailed that down at all. Do you? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how's it going?
It's going pretty well, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, I was just, I'm a long-time listener since, a while back, but anyway, noticed a change in the radio reception tonight. Quite an improvement.
Yes, it began last night after I started complaining. 6 weeks went by when it was horrible, and last night I began complaining. Within hours, it suddenly came back. Now, go figure that one.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, huh?
It's like somebody was listening, you know?
Yeah, and they just turned the switch off.
Yes. Well, don't think I haven't considered it. We do have HARP out there. And
you know, I understand that. I worked out there in Alaska a couple of years ago.
And HARP's main intent is to affect the ionosphere, firing holes through it, heating it up, trying to, you know, mess with radio communications to make it better or worse. I don't know. But
very true.
It's an obvious suspect, huh?
Yeah, cause I like listening to broadcast radio and up there, and I couldn't hear a station 100 miles away, 50,000 watt furnace, and you couldn't hear it.
That's a fact.
Yeah, all summer long. There was one time maybe I got the 650 out there and they listened to it, but all summer long you can't hear anything out there. I wonder how all the other hams that live out there get away with it.
I don't know, but anyway, you're certainly right, and the timing is almost impeccable and surprising, isn't it, that I would mention that and complain bitterly about it last night, and then virtually as I'm complaining, it's getting better. But there couldn't be a connection, could there? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art Escondido, listening on COGO.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to thank Congressman Hunter and Sensenbrenner and the others for standing up to the Senate and President Bush, who want to play what I think is Russian roulette with American security. He has gone against his FBI and the 9/11 Commission and wants to continue issuing these illegal matricular cards and illegal driver's licenses. And I think someday, if unfortunately somebody brings a weapon to the ranch at Crawford, he'll probably be carrying in his pocket a matricular card.
Uh-huh. Listen, I would very much like to talk to you about this. We're coming up on a break point here at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to ask you to hold on. Would that
okay,
be all right?
Fine.
All right, stay right there. That is something I want to talk about. I can just imagine, boy, in the halls of the CIA and NSA, how this news of the intelligence change would have been received. Oh, you'd want to be on the fly on the wall for that one, believe me. I'm sure a lot of people went absolutely through the roof. They're gonna do what? That's my job. Nobody touches my area of intelligence. No siree, sir. From the high desert, in the middle of the night, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Indeed so. At the top of the hour, Evelyn, Dr. Evelyn Paglini will be here, and she's a witch. No, she is not a witch that... Well, a lot of modern witches say, well, you know, they're just nothing but good things and good times and the best of everything and white light. Well, she's not that kind of witch. She's also not exactly the other kind of witch, although she can be. She can be. So she is just a witch. Now, obviously, some magic is real. You know, that's a wild statement to make, isn't it? Obviously, some magic is real, but some magic is real. And tonight we will explore that world with Dr. Paglini. I understand there are a number of people of other persuasions who are mightily offended, and if you would be one of those, then you'll just want to click off for a while, and all will be better soon. Otherwise, it'll be a fascinating night. Are you or a... I remember the night we first had a story several weeks ago, of the recommendations of the 9/11 committee and the commission, and what that would mean to the intelligence agencies here in the United States. And I knew, I actually chuckled, I think, while I was reading that story, because I knew instantly what it would do in the halls, the power halls of all the lettered agencies. It would absolutely drive them berserk. And sure enough, it did. Caller, you're back on the air again. And I suppose the word went quickly, flashed around Washington underground. Oh, my God, we got to get this stopped. And ended with the Pentagon somehow getting it stopped, you know, making enough calls or something to Republican lawmakers. Kind of odd that the Republican side, under the president who says he wants it to go through, were the ones who stopped it.
Well, I know that Duncan Hunter was concerned about that. Does this actually create another agency separate from the CIA?
Yes. In other words, it's sort of like an oversight deal, only more, because I guess it would have power to order the CIA to act in conjunction with other agencies on some particular thing or another.
So they no longer would be the central intelligence agency. They'd be kind of
the auxiliary?
Yeah, or the on-the-side agency.
Can you imagine what it must have been like when they got word of this coming down?
Yeah, they were, since 1947, have been the big cheese.
Yeah.
I am concerned, though, about President Bush supporting these matricular cards against the FBI advice. I mean,
I understand. I heard. But can you imagine, just going back for a second, sir,
yeah,
can you imagine back in the days of J. Edgar Hoover? If somebody walked into his office and said, look, J. Edgar, there's going to be this guy you're going to have to report to from now on.
He'd just get out his secret file.
Yeah, that'd be that. Anyway, the cards you were talking about.
Yeah, these are the terrorists of the future are going to use matricular cards. You know, they're issued by Mexico and other countries. And they're just flat-out illegal IDs. They're going to use them to gain access to airplanes, trains, even government buildings. And the FBI has advised against it. They know this is a huge security gap. And unfortunately, our president has decided to play some politics with this, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything at that level is politics. And all I can say about that is that it's going to be a fight to the end. That is to say, the people who do the security and write the codes and the people out there trying to break them and do damage. It will be a fight to the very bitter end. It's just as it always has been. It's just the venue has changed. Now it's all high tech. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. 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 Going once.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
I almost hung up on you there. You got to be faster on the draw.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Where are you?
I'm in Virginia.
Okay.
And we spoke earlier. I was contacted a couple years ago by a time traveler, or someone claiming to be a time traveler, I should say.
You were?
I was contacted by email, which is probably not the most glamorous form of contact, and it was also spam. So I was just curious whether you or maybe your listeners have received similar emails. The person was apparently looking for equipment used in time travel.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
You've seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. Sure, I've seen that. Yes, that's a popular piece of spam going around. I guess there's a lot of people absolutely fascinated by the idea of time travel. And then there's the other side, the other possibility, and that is that you cannot know all of these are fake. As we discussed last night, there was the story run by the regular news services of the fellow grabbed for supposedly insider trading. He claimed no insider information, just time travel. That's what he told the SEC, just time travel. And a lot of other stories. Well, maybe a few are true. Who knows? Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art. This is Jeff from Nashville.
Yes, sir.
I was a law enforcement officer back from 92 until 96 in the Orlando, Florida territory.
Oh.
Over the course of years when we've had severe tornadoes or hurricanes come through Florida, I've heard of some pretty wild reports where I've had to go out to folks' home and file a report concerning of a creature. that stood within 6 to 8 feet.
Say, oh, the skunk ape. Yeah, sure.
Okay. When I talked to a couple of scientists on the issue over the course of years, they say that the skunk man also matches the same description of what they call in the Northwest of Sasquatch.
Yes.
The only difference is that the armature on the skunk man is a little shorter, and the fur is a little shorter, but they're basically almost damn near the same creature.
Well, you're right. I've seen photographs, and they are very, very similar. A skunk ape seems to have a kind of a differently structured face, but, you know, it's like they're first cousins or something.
Exactly. But the scientists that I had spoken to and the doctors I've spoken to have reason to believe that this is probably the next closest evolution to what man is today. And as you know, we were at that stage of Neanderthal man as we've ingressed and moved forward. But they have reason to believe that Sasquatch and the skunk ape man are damn near our living being as we know for ourselves today.
I could believe that, but it really is a good mystery. I mean, it's a really good mystery because they stay hidden. 99.9% of the time, they stay hidden from modern civilization. And it's not as though Florida is unoccupied, although there are large areas of marsh and swamp in Florida that are more or less unoccupied. But, you know, as a general rule, Florida is pretty well traveled. You know, people in all kinds of boats are flying around the marshes and all the rest of it. They stay hidden. And then every now and then, one of them shows up. Well, you can imagine a hurricane might push them out. They are certainly mysterious. Are they metaphysical or are they real? When I say metaphysical, there have been reports they've disappeared and done things that, you know, normal physics would suggest something living couldn't do. That kind of puts them a little on the metaphysical side. Either way, fascinating. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. This is Dave in Shepherdsville.
Yes, Dave.
I was just calling to say that, talk about creation for a minute, because you were talking about it.
Well, the scientists now are receiving these echoes, quite frequent ones, too, of enough energy that it's like it's creative energy, sir. And I sort of speculated from my hip that maybe it is creation. Maybe we're hearing the echoes of ongoing creation elsewhere.
Yeah, I believe that that the universe is ever expanding and that it was all created out of by the Lord, that the Lord spoke it all into creation. And if you, I mean, there's, you know, there's not much, what is a word, really, you know what I mean? That it was like a big bang, all energy and everything came out of nothing.
Yep.
Something without parameters. And I just believe that the universe is ongoing and ever creating. And,
well, it's as good a theory as any, really. They don't know. They don't know what these energy bursts
yeah,
are.
Yeah, and how long have they, did they just discover it? Or
it's a ongoing? Yep, it's a relatively new discovery.
A new discovery, but it might have been always happening.
Oh, I think that you're absolutely right.
More than likely, yeah. And a quick thought on Iraq. I just hope we didn't go in there just to get a big gas station, just in case we have to take over the Middle East.
Huh.
Big gas station right in the middle.
Uh-huh. Yes, well, I'm sure that that was in our mix. I mean, there's no way that you cannot take Iraq's oil into account. Say what you will about the hopes of free energy and guys with little black boxes that have more output than input. They're not quite there yet, and we need oil. Without question, without exception, without argument, we need oil. We've got to have it. You can bemoan our policies of not beginning to switch to other energy sources earlier if you wish, and I do that from time to time, but the fact of the matter is, at the present time, present circumstances, we've got to have oil, and if we don't have it, this country will grind to a halt. So it is in our imminent national interest to assure the oil will keep coming. First-time caller line, you're on air.
Yes, hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Tony from Vancouver.
Hey, Tony.
You had a show on with Bill McDonald on recently?
Yes.
Yeah, and you guys talked about DNA coming from aliens.
Yes, he said something about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been reading a book called The Bible Code. You ever read by Michael Drosnin?
Oh, yes.
Well, he covers that in depth in his last part of the book. He goes over that.
Yes, Ms. Drosnin might be particularly interested in the theory about there being a message in our so-called junk DNA. I'd love to hear him comment on that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
I mean, he's a man who searches for patterns in the Bible that contain secret messages for humanity. Well, if you were going to put it in the Bible, think how secure it would be locking it in the DNA and having it seen as just junk DNA.
And he talks about the DNA code also being similar to the language code.
Yes.
Have you talked to him about that?
I have not ever spoken to Mr. Drosnin. However, I would love to. So he'd be a person definitely for me to interview or to be interviewed on this program one way or the other. And I'd love to run that scenario by him. I thought it was one of the more intriguing that I had heard in a very long time, that the fact that what we're calling our junk DNA might not be so junk at all. It might be, for example, like the Bible code, and just awaiting the right person to come along and realize that, oh my God, our Creator included with, you know, what is our blueprint, our DNA, this extra DNA. And it's not junk. It's not an appendix to be cast aside, but rather to be decoded and read and understood by all of humanity. Or it's junk. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art. Pleasure to speak with you.
Yes, welcome.
I was just curious to find out if you had heard any new theories about the long-delay echoes that some ham operators have been experiencing lately.
Well, no. However, the story I read earlier tonight might be considered in holes in our magnetosphere. Let's think about that. If there's a hole there and something can come rushing in, then perhaps out the same hole something can go rushing out.
Right.
And that still doesn't explain the LDEs, but it's sort of on its way to trying to explain them. Long-delayed echoes are simply a radio frequency transmissions made and then heard echoing anywhere from milliseconds to minutes afterward, where, you know, it's impossible. Once a radio wave goes out, it travels at the speed of light, and there cannot possibly be minutes before its return, or echo, if you will. It's impossible. Physics say it's totally impossible. That is to say, physics that we have thus far managed to call rules. A wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Dave from Dover, New Jersey.
How you doing, Dave?
Very well. I have a two-part real quick question, which probably take a lot more time to talk about, but my idea was, what if we pointed the Hubble telescope towards Mars, and you know all the work with Richard Z. Hoagland with the pyramids and the face on Mars, couldn't we get a good picture of what's there and a really clear picture to show the world and NASA and everyone?
Well, let me tell you what I've heard. There have been a lot of people who have said, why don't we point Hubble at the moon? The Hubble people have been heard to mumble that it's too bright and might hurt their equipment. Now, why can't we point it at Mars? That's, you know, even a better question. Well, it's not so bright. And who knows what we might be able to discover using Hubble. You know what? I don't have the answer. I have suspicions. But I don't have answers about why we have not used the Hubble close in. We're using it on things and, you know, so far away that we're talking about the beginning of, you know, 15 billion light years or whatever, the beginning of everything. We're looking out that far. Why not look at Mars? I couldn't agree more.
Okay, and the second part of my comment question would be, what are your thoughts? You talked about Big Brother the other night with your guest, and regarding the device in the cars. that kind of puts me in the mood of the ultimate Big Brother, which would be the Mark of the Beast, spoken of in Revelation.
Yes.
What would be your thoughts on what that might be?
I have no idea what it's going to be. You know, most people say, why a chip in the skin, a chip implanted in your body, and as you know, they're already sort of doing that right now, and they're talking about much more of it. Do I think that is the mark of the beast? I don't know.
Okay, Art, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Take care. Sorry, my guess is no better than anybody else's. I just do a talk show. And so I'd be least qualified to tell you, hey, look at that. Mark of the Beast. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How you doing?
Just fine, sir.
Hey, this is Vince calling from Denver.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to talk about your comments about the connection or lack of between Al-Qaeda and Saddam.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of a book called The Connection by Stephen Hayes?
No.
He's a writer. I've heard him interviewed on several daytime shows. He's a staff writer for the Weekly Standard. And the book is about the collaboration between Al-Qaeda and Saddam and how it goes back for at least a decade.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you think, sir, I'm not saying there wasn't any contact, but wouldn't you think that if there was extensive contact, that through our invasion, now occupation of Iraq, virtually looking in every corner, you know, that we would have turned up really convincing stuff if there had been a connection by now?
Well, I think that we have, but it's the pack mentality by the liberal media has just decided that it wasn't the case.
Well,
and very
okay.
few people are willing to go against the grain.
All right, listen here. I'm not the pack media, and I'm absolutely willing to listen and air any facts that anybody has that somehow the networks weenie out on. I'll air them here. You know I will.
I know, and sure. And that's one thing I admire about you. You're a truth seeker, and I know that. I've listened to you long enough to know that. And I'd love to hear you interview this gentleman.
All right. Send me an email with his name, the name of his book, whatever I can use to try and get hold of him. And I'll try and oblige you. I'll do what I can.
Great. Sounds good.
All right.
Good job. Thanks, Art.
Right. Thank you very much, and take care. Whenever we can, we will look where others do not. It's one of the main reasons we're here. So, indeed, I would interview him. Or anybody else with contrary views. I do that frequently. In fact, just last weekend was a fine example of it. We do it all the time. There is no preaching from this pulpit. We just do a talk show here, and it's dedicated to looking at what's out there that might be real and not told by others. And in that vein, and coming up in just a very few moments, we're going to talk to a witch. Her name is Dr. Evelyn Paglini.
Learn from us very much.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Do you believe in magic? And I know a lot of people don't. They go, oh, pooey, give me a break. Magic. Witches, give me a break. Well, let me tell you, don't be so sure. Of all the things under God and here on Earth, magic is one of those things that I believe there is something, well, there is something to it. So there you are. I believe it. I don't know that I believe everything that is said about it, witches. But I do believe there is something to what you're about to hear. Dr. Evelyn Paglini, parapsychologist, is indeed one of the leading authorities on the occult and the supernatural in this country. She was born into a centuries-old family of practitioners of the occult, and at the age of 4, her grandfather began teaching her natural magic. She is a psychic, metaphysical teacher, lecturer, consultant, doctor of divinity, and spiritual warrior. She's also founded the International Psychic Center, a research investigation organization that has been called upon as an expert by law enforcement agencies. She has set precedent in the Texas court system on a child abuse case with ritual overtones and has worked with law enforcement on missing persons and murder cases involving the occult and the supernatural. Some of what you will hear tonight will be very disturbing for some people, and if you think you're going to be one of those people, then this is your invitation to tune out now and not harm yourself in any way by what you'll hear. In a moment, Evelyn would like to open the show, it is my understanding, by serving up two big warnings to all of you. So, in a moment, I don't know what those warnings are, but we'll all know in a moment. You've been on many times, Evelyn, so a further introduction is not necessary. Now, before the program begins, I get information on a little bit of it anyway, and so I knew these warnings were coming. I don't know what they are, because I don't want to know. I suppose I could ask, but I want to find out same time as the audience, whatever the information is going to be, so I can digest it unrehearsed. So, Evelyn, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Art. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
You have two warnings for everybody, right?
Yes, I do. Art, you know I do an awful lot of psychic readings and consultations.
Yes.
All over the United States as well as internationally. And for the last few months, I have been gathering an awful lot of information because I'm seeing some trends. And these trends have been very disturbing to me. And so I know that you may have other guests that will be able to scientifically confirm or maybe even give more light on what I'm about to say, but I can only come from the clients that I am talking to and what is happening in their lives.
Okay.
So the first one I wanted to talk about was the weather. And it's ironic because earlier this evening you were talking about your highway being closed.
Oh, yes.
And snow coming down. Well, this is the tip of the iceberg. The first is a weather warning. We're going to have a season that is unbelievable. We will have such record snowfalls that it's going to be unbelievable. We will have blizzards and blizzard conditions. We will have whiteouts on highways. The high winds that I am seeing and that people are experiencing and going to be going through are absolutely enormous. You're going to have some major, major power outages, which will be triggered by these blizzards and these high winds, where hundreds of thousands of people are going to be without power. You're going to have the close of some major airports as well as major highways in the Midwest as well as on the East Coast.
This winter.
This winter. And I mean, it's brutal. And where there is not snow and where there is not blizzard conditions, there is going to be flooding. And with the wind, again, you're going to have power outages and flooding.
All right.
Major.
All right. Well, I guess I need to know more about how this information was gleaned. I mean,
during my readings, people in different parts of the United States, as well as I said, internationally, from England to Switzerland, during the course of the reading, and I am trying to project them out anywhere between a year to 2.5 years,
yes,
I am seeing these things occurring.
Oh, so as you're doing readings for people, you're seeing them encounter these much larger things that will affect everybody.
That is correct. I'm also seeing our huge heating fuel shortages. I don't know what's causing it, but I know it will cause deaths, and I know that there is going to be such a gripping. I felt like I saw in one consultation a hand actually reaching out of the sky and gripping the nation, the upper portion of the nation, in a bitter, gripping cold snap.
Wow.
And so, again, because of that, and because of an interruption of some sign in fuel, there is going to be a shortage of fuel. And what I started seeing and I started warning my clients is, for God's sake, make sure that you check your heating system, make sure you have enough fuel, and if something does happen, do not try to heat your homes in the wrong way.
Yeah, or burn your
house. Because I'm seeing deaths, I'm seeing fire, Art.
Evelyn, here's something I'm curious about. When remote viewers look at something, they have, with regard to when something is going to happen, the timing of something,
mm-hmm.
they know it's going to happen, but more times than not, they cannot pin down when it's going to happen. The
correct.
Actual time of the event is very hard to pin down. Now, what makes you certain it's this winter?
Because I have been doing and gathering this information, as I said, the last few months, with all of the readings and the consultations I've been doing. And during this, I would say, my God, there is something that is happening to you, whether you were in Texas, which look what's happening right now there, whether it was Florida, which I've given many of my clients the warnings of those hurricanes that were there.
No. All I'm asking is, how do you put a timeline on it? In other words, if you're, let's say you're looking at somebody's life,
I try to stay within 1 year, and sometimes it will push me into 18 months or 2 years, only because they continue to ask me another question in that arena.
So it does work for you then. In other words, if you only want to look at a year, for the most part, you get what you want. You don't get something 20 years away by
mistake.
No,
what I try to do is to narrow it down, because anyone can give you some future event that's 5 to 10 years in the future, but who is ever coming to me for a consultation or a reading, they're paying for it today, so they want to know what's going to happen in their life in the next year or two.
Right.
And also, with this, and I am going to say there will be flooding in California, Florida, Louisiana, and of course already with Texas, which is going on. But also during this time, the second warning, and the biggest part was the economy.
Our economy.
Yes. There is a slowdown in the economy that has already begun. But by spring, you're going to notice large companies will start tightening their belt, and thousands of people will be laid off. Hmm. Now, other companies and businesses will close. And this will drive unemployment very high.
Sure.
And you're going to now start to see then record bankruptcies, and they will be reported. So there will be confirmation on this.
What, and, okay, do you have any clue as to what precipitates this?
I feel, first of all, that there was going to be a rise in interest rates, and I think it's going to rise very fast in the next year to year and a half.
Hmm.
And you're going to see inflation, okay, really rear its ugly head. And I think that's going to help to push the economy toward a deep recession.
Really rear its ugly hell. Was that a witch slip?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because it's going to be hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Pushing the economy toward a recession is going to make people very, very frightened.
Yeah.
And the stock market, sir, even though right now we're in a rally, it will not be a rally that will last. There will be a major decline in the spring, and it continues all throughout the fall. And once again, you're going to see the stock market flirting around the $7,500 to $8,000 level.
Again, huh?
Yes. And so that means another wipeout for people that have investment. They could lose anywhere between another 30 to 40% of their portfolio. Retirees could be wiped out. Now, I've also got, Art, and this could be a terrorist attack. I've got an oil interruption.
Oh.
And this attack drives oil to new record highs. I mean, big time.
Where was it? We saw it, $55 and change or something?
It's going to beat that. It's going to go up to 60, and then I would have to say within a matter of no less than 4 years, 75 to 80.
Wow. That would wreck the economy all by itself.
Yes. And also, and this is funny because when I was talking to certain women who were worried about their young adult children, I noticed that the war in the Middle East is going to definitely escalate. It's going to spread into other countries.
Well, you just...
Inside Iran, you're going to have major trouble in Saudi Arabia. And I saw a massive buildup in our military. It will be needed in the next 2 years because of the fighting in the Middle East. And I feel that we are going to be in Iraq and in the Middle East for over 10 years.
Any real buildup in the military beyond where we are now, and we're already freezing troops in Iraq. By freezing, I mean, no, you're not going home. You're going to stay through the elections and maybe longer. You know, there's going to be the draft. I mean, any major buildup would require a draft, wouldn't it?
Well, something must precipitate the necessity of this massive buildup. Because when I was talking to these people, I saw their sons and their daughters going into war.
Gotcha.
Now, another thing that bothered me was I saw a lot of older Americans that will not be able to make ends meet. They will need to return to the workplace just to survive. So because of the business slowdown, housing prices are going to drop. And many people can lose their homes because of this here spiral downturn in the housing market. And again, I feel that this is going to start to rear its ugly head spring and summer.
Well,
it will really confirm it.
There certainly is a gigantic housing bubble in the West, all of California, even the neighborhood I'm in here, that every property values have been going up, skyrocketing beyond all reason. And it's a bubble, and eventually it's got to burst, and it sounds like the whole economic bubble is bursting from what you're saying.
This is what I'm seeing. Even though we have these very high prices in your state as well as in mine, you're going to notice, and I feel that this is going to be reported, that homes that we're selling within the 10-day to 2-week period are now going to be sitting for 4 and 5 months.
Huh.
And so when that starts to happen, as well as the interest rates, you know, rising, inflation rising, and businesses going out and people being laid off, they're not going to be able to keep those homes, and you're going to start seeing foreclosures, people losing their homes.
Well, I've got to ask you for the record. I mean, these are some awfully dire predictions and warnings you're issuing. What's the likelihood that you could be wrong?
Quite frankly, I don't think there's more than 10 or 15%.
But you would admit to at least 10 or 15%?
Yeah, for some people.
I mean...
But generally, no. I don't believe I'm wrong at all. If my timing is off by 3 or 4 months, that's all about. That's about all it could be. Only because I'm what I'm seeing. There's too many consultations and readings that are across too wide an area for it to not be happening. If it was one or two here and there, I'd say, all right, those people.
Okay, are you in touch with other people like yourself, Evelyn? Other, I don't know.
Psychics?
Yeah, psychics.
Not really.
In other words, I'm wondering if your information is being corroborated by others.
I'm sure that if other psychics were called upon to give their opinion, I think that they would back me up. Very much so. The writing is on the wall, and if they're doing any readings, and again, if they have just a central area, in other words, if they're only in New York City and that's all they're reading for, then they're only going to get that part of it. But because I read internationally, I mean, I'm seeing, okay, a terrific downturn in London, England. Now, prices have been skyrocketing, inflation has been going out of control, and yet I feel, again, a housing market downturn in London. And as far as their weather, oh, my God, what they're in for.
Europe?
Yes. Yes.
So this is going to be virtually a worldwide happening, right?
But I'm concerned with the United States, and I want to give your audience an edge on the future as much as possible. I would recommend, because of what I am seeing in the stock market, all commodities such as gold and silver, and I know you advertise it, and I have been talking about gold for 7 years. This will be continue to be a very, very good investment because I feel that it is going to come close to the 25 years ago high.
Yeah, and it ought to be said here, you don't have any interest in any gold selling companies, right?
No, I do not, sir.
But it is true that gold in the hardest of times becomes the currency of the realm.
I have been pushing gold and platinum since 1997, and I've made people a lot of money.
Well, I would imagine that would be true, yes.
Now, you also can get into defense stocks, but because I see that there's going to be an escalation of this war, and I feel that we are going to go into other countries, there will be... The Middle East is going to be a bigger hotbed than ever. So defense stocks would be very good, as well as natural gas.
Like Iran, Syria, that kind of thing?
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia.
Yes. There's something that's going to happen in Saudi Arabia that is going to make it a powder keg. And the United States is going to have to militarily rush in to help and to stabilize.
We would have no choice, would we?
No, we would have none.
I mean, I do recognize that. Every president has virtually affirmed that the United States, for example, during the Cold War, would go all the way to nuclear war without blinking to keep the oil supplies running. So, yeah.
And I feel there will be a tax on oil fields. And you know what's bothering me? It's not only in the Middle East. I got a real bad gut feeling that they're going to try Alaska.
Alaska.
They're going to try the pipeline. There's an interruption of oil that hits the United States that forces oil and forces panic.
Hold it right there, Evelyn. Well, this is a pretty scary beginning, isn't it? I'm Art Bell.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed. It's really something. Evelyn Paglini is my guest. She is a witch, parapsychologist. And she has never, ever come on the program and done what she's done tonight, which is to serve up a couple of very frightening warnings about our weather, most immediate weather, this winter coming right up, and our economy crashing, just virtually crashing, and the oil supplies crashing, and really pretty serious stuff, and very close in as well. So this is quite a departure for Dr. Paglini. At least as far as this program is concerned. More in a moment. I would guess that your advice to everybody, Evelyn, would be to prepare in various ways, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you tell your clients? What are you going to tell my audience? Prepare how?
Well, first of all, I am the vice president of a large charitable organization that is very heavily invested in the stock market so that we can annually hold our conference and send out an awful lot of money to various charitable organizations. And I have made them switch an awful lot of stocks and bonds to go into, as I had mentioned before, oil, defense stocks,
right,
natural gas, gold, and silver.
Whatever gets rare is going to be worth a lot.
Mm-hmm. Including gemstones, believe it or not. Also, I have told people, because I am seeing these here, tremendous outages, to be buying generators, to be tightening their belt on a financial scale, because I am seeing people being laid off. I am seeing bankruptcies and businesses foreclosing. And so what I'm telling people is that starting next year, they better take an inventory of what their necessities and their needs are. I know some people will need to find a second income in order to sustain themselves.
This is a pretty bleak outlook. Did you think really hard before you decided to bring it on the air?
Only because the trend was getting so big, Art. That's what made me want to do it now. I just couldn't believe it. It was just too big a trend, and it was too varied between the economy and the weather and the inflation. I said, my God, what we're headed for, people have got to be warned. The only way to get the edge on the future is to have knowledge. And the one thing about your show is you bring a diverse amount of guests who can give this kind of edge to people so that they can at least weather this coming storm.
Well, you're right. Nobody else is doing it, that's for sure.
You know, your book, The Coming Global Superstorm, and your blockbuster movie, The Day After Tomorrow,
yes,
has this government and the governments and the people of the world paying more attention to our climate and to our weather.
Yes, but not enough yet.
Well, this year is going to really make a wake-up call.
Well, if we had weather, the severity of which you described, it would probably indeed do that. That's going to be a hard way to learn, though. That's very serious. So snow, very deep, flooding, a lot of water, and a lot of misery across America this winter.
Yes. Flooding, outages, highway closed, airports closing. It's going to be really something. But you know what, Art? I want to share something with people that I have shared with some of my clients. When I was a young girl, we had an awful lot of tension every time we had a drill in one of our schools when we had to hide under the desks. Be- because of a possible attack.
I remember.
And I came home one day, and I was very frightened of what was happening to the world and to our nation, and I remember talking to my grandfather about it. And what he told me was, Evelyn, worry and concern does you no good. It is like a rocking chair. It will rock you, but it will get you nowhere. So what he made for me the next day was a prayer box. Now, the one he made was out of metal, but anyone can make it, even out of a shoebox. And what you do is you put symbols of your faith around this prayer box. And your worries and your concerns, you write on a piece of paper, and you place them inside of this prayer box.
Right.
And what you're doing is you are giving it up to God. And once you do this from your heart...
Well, you're certainly displaying intent.
Yes, and once you do this with your heart and your soul, then never, never look at it again.
Huh.
Because if you do, you're almost saying that you don't believe that God can handle the problem.
I see. Lack of faith.
So, for all those people out there, make yourself a prayer box. And put your worries and your concerns, whether it be financial, whether it be about your family and your loved ones, put those concerns and those worries into a prayer box and give it to God.
I'm curious about something, Evelyn. You said you used the word clients a couple of times. What's a typical client for you?
Oh, they range from the average housewife to the real estate investor to the corporate magnet to the movie director, producer, star, across the board.
Just anybody, huh?
Just about.
And do they typically return again and again? Is it that kind of relationship that usually builds, or do people come for a one-time?
I have both, but I have an awful lot of clients that have been around me for the last 15, 20 years, and some even 30.
So the warnings you got tonight, to be clear for the audience, these were discerned by looking at the lives of your clients, not for actively going out to search to find out what's going to happen to the U.S. or the world or anything else.
No, it strictly came from what is happening to people and their lives and their families.
Right.
Their businesses.
And so I guess you've given them privately this news,
yes.
Or quite a few of them. Any idea, could you give us some idea of how many? I mean, how repetitive has this message been for you?
I would have to say that starting around the end of September, it became big time.
I'm getting a lot of people agreeing with it. You know, I watch the computer messages roll in. And believe it or not, there are a lot of people who are saying they've been seeing the same sorts of dire things. There are also other people who say, come on, give me a break, it's a witch.
But it's a witch who is tapping into the lives of people across the world.
Yes.
That are concerned about their business, their careers, their children. And when I'm looking at an 18 or 19-year-old young man that a mother is concerned about, and I progress him 2 years, and I see him in war.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
it's not one person.
It's
over and over again, and no matter where I'm going, it's happening, and I'm saying there's something wrong here. One or two, of course, but not one. It's a trend.
You're right.
And so that's why I kept taking notes, and I'm saying, what's going on here? Why is this happening?
Yeah. Yeah, what's going on in the world, right?
And so that's why I decided that I had to state as much as I can. I know you will have other guests that will be more scientific about it, that will have better insight into it, that are more political about it. They have the inside resources. I'm only coming from the average person I'm talking to.
Got that. To the people who do scoff and say, crazy witch, What do you say?
The proof is always in the pudding, honey, and when the economic forecast can no longer be denied, when their own lives have been turned upside down, I guess they will have to say she was right.
and by then it'll be too late.
Yeah, but for those people who have been around me a long time, they are divesting of the stock market.
Right.
They are selling an awful lot of property. Okay, they realize it. That in fact, one major company that I deal with is already saying that right after the first of the year, they must cut 10,000 people's jobs. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's just one small company right here in California.
Well,
that I have been dealing with for over 10 years.
Yep, that's very serious, all right. If somebody were to challenge you, Evelyn, and say magic is bunk, magic is not real, and you were required to try and convince them that magic was real, how would you do so?
Well, the first thing I would say is look around you. Look at nature and look at the elements and realize that they are forces and vibrations that you can tap into, that you can manipulate, and that you can use as a tool to assist you to change your life and to manifest your goals.
Those tools do seem to be there. There's all this Princeton work, the mass consciousness business, all of that seems to be real. There seems to be increasing evidence for it, this force out there, this collective conscious force.
They're even now doing in certain universities, and I believe there's one in England, that are doing intent experiments.
Intent, right.
I have been talking about intent since I've been on your show. I have been talking about the power of the mind and what one person can do to influence or affect another individual.
Okay, then try this question then, Evelyn. If enough people believed what you were saying tonight and heeded the warnings you gave tonight and collectively began to form an intent to change what otherwise was going to occur, could that be done?
Yes, and depending on the strength of their intent and the coincidence of that intent, it can eliminate or lessen the degree
of the severity of what
happened.
Correct. Could it change it entirely? I guess I'm asking in a way if events, if timelines can be...
No, uh-uh. All it will do is lessen it or stall it. Give us time to maybe reprieve, to reevaluate, and for some, it can save lives.
I've always wondered about that. It seems like an out for a parapsychologist, and I set you up for that in a way, but I mean, you know, on the one hand, you're saying this event is going to happen, but it can be made less severe by people's intent to make it less severe, to will it to be less severe.
Yes, but so do that you realize the mass consciousness that would have to be gathered, and then it would have to be guided because it must be coinciding. You cannot have a million people at different times. What you are doing is trying to gather the energy and then to use it like a laser beam in order to slice through that which is the blocking or the stopping or the obstacle.
Well, Evelyn, I know you're aware I've done experiments. I've shied away from them for what I think are good reasons because I'm not a very good conductor of a million intended wishes at the same time, which is possible to do with a radio program like this, but I'm not so sure that I know what I'm doing, and therefore I don't know what it might produce.
Well, it can produce great results as long as, and you have heard me say this to you before, as long as you bind down the action not wanted.
Uh-huh.
Most people are only concerned in taking care of the problem or the situation.
That's right.
But they do not realize that knowledge as well as power has a double-edged sword. And so sometimes you'll say, well, I would like to have a beautiful new car. But if you don't say without problems...
You might get a lemon.
Right. You'll get the new car, but it'll be one. It's constantly going to the shop.
Yeah, unintended consequences, yeah.
So when you are doing a guidance of a mass consciousness, you must be very specific and where you are sending this energy, and then you must also bind down what you do not want to occur. Failure to do so will leave that energy wild.
So there are rules to the universe.
Absolutely. And there are immutable laws, and then yet there are laws that can be manipulated.
That's an interesting part. There are aspects of it that can be manipulated, and it is people like you that do that tinkering, right?
That is correct. But the average person out there can learn how to do it for themselves. Once they learn what nature is about, once they make themselves one with nature, and of course with the elements, they can use those tools in order to change their personal lives. Now, collectively, they can change the world.
So everybody has this power, and it is a quite considerable power.
Yes.
But one person cannot change the world. The world can only be changed by perhaps the majority of those in it, or a great number.
Great number of consciousness, awakening, spirituality, and the focus of their minds.
I wonder what the speed of thought is, Evelyn.
Instant.
You think so?
And more so.
We've been talking about that over the past weeks, the speed of thought.
Absolutely instant.
It does appear, or maybe even better, maybe the speed of thought may occur across the time barrier. In other words, I go back now to the Princeton. There was this big jump that just went off scale some numbers of hours, Evelyn, prior to 9/11. And it just went off scale as though there was some mass consciousness realization ahead of time that something big was about to happen.
Yes.
It's almost irrefutable. So that almost might mean that thought or intent or a sort of a cosmic bulletin can go out before the event even occurs, which says a lot of things about time, doesn't it?
That is correct. Also, in the astral plane, time does not exist. So say you have a group of individuals like those 19 who were planning with many more this horrendous 9/11 event.
Yes.
That concentration of power and thought, and do not believe that they did not do rituals because they did, this is a energy that is sent out and in the ether can be collected and then transmitted to those people who are highly sensitive. Now, some will receive it in dreams. Others will receive it in premonition or visions, mm-hmm. And that is why there have been so many people that later reported that they had visions, that they had dreams of an impending doom, and some people actually saw the event.
Evelyn, it's my understanding there's now some sort of national dream registry. It's a place on the Internet, I think, where people go and register their dreams and their visions.
Correct.
And I have not yet heard any report of what they've discovered, you know, the data they've correlated, whether, in fact, people do have mass dreams of anything, calamity, good times, bad times, anything. Have you heard any reports from the National Dream Registry, I think it's called?
Yes, I have. And, again, referring back to 9/11, there have been a considerable amount of people who have registered and have given of their stories, whether they be in dreams, in vision, or precognition, premonition.
Did that occur prior to 9/11?
Yes, it did. And some of them months before, others only days and hours before.
Now, that's something. Hold tight, Evelyn. We're here at the top of the hour. You know, that really is something. I guess I'm going to have to seek out and get somebody who's been monitoring and crunching some of the numbers from the National Dream Registry. But it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Millions of dreams, hundreds of thousands of dreams, perhaps, recorded. And if there is a common thread, then that would be very important information, wouldn't it? We'll see what we can do. The only way I think we can track all this down is with facts, and those would be good hard numbers and facts. Information from the National Dream Registry. I'm Art Bell.
Would you pay 15 cents to hear this show in its entirety? That's the daily charge for Streamlink. Sign up at www.coasttocoastam.com.
I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you.
Be it sight, sound, smell, or touch, there's something inside that we need so much. The sight of a touch, or the scent of a sound, or the strength of an oak we roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again. Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing. To lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing. To have all these things in our memories hoard and to use them to help us to find.
Take a ride. To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
You're solidly on board this ride tonight, aren't you? My, 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 what a ride we're having tonight. So just sit back and soak it in. In the meantime, your ticket is paid for by... A lot of Evelyn's work has involved people having curses put on them, people attacking other people. So this what we've heard tonight, at least in terms of Coast to Coast AM and what you've ever said on the program, is new stuff. You've never stepped out and made these kinds of predictions before, or really predictions at all, for that matter. I suppose a few, but this is really a first. Evelyn, is having all of this information, it must be, I don't know, it must be a, kind of an awful burden in a way to see these things and to know these things.
In a way it is, but to me, forewarned is forearmed. And what I'm in the business of doing is giving people the edge, giving them an opportunity to see what's going to happen and possibly get out of harm's way for those people who are going to start having problems with finances. There is a prosperity and better ritual that they can learn how to do, and this can bring in more money, bring in contacts and opportunities, or possibly even hold down the job that they already have or open up the door to a new job.
Okay, Connie in Littleton, Colorado says, hey, dear Art, nothing Dr. Paglini is saying comes as any surprise to me. Unfortunately, I've been anticipating almost everything she said. Thanks for being there and for all sane people. So, obviously, she buys into it. She's not surprised. She's seen the same sort of thing herself, or this from Ernest in Calgary up in Canada. Will the woo-woo witch doctor, that would be you, use her special mojo to help Bin Laden, to hex Bin Laden, rather, in other words, put a curse on him, and stop him from nuking America? Pretty rude, woo-woo doctor, but good question in a way. We do have dire enemies right now, Evelyn. We all know that. And is there anything in that voodoo you do that could reach out and touch somebody like Bin Laden?
Yes, there is. And especially when it is collectively done by many people in the faith, in the practitioners of magic.
The craft.
Whether they are a shaman, a medicine man, a Wiccan, or a voodoo priest, if collectively, as they had done once long ago in England, got together and consciously put that intent out, you best you believe it, yes, it can be done.
Christians would be unlikely to sit and concentrate on breaking a blood vessel in Bin Laden's head, right?
Well, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is take that which is weak within the body and accelerate it.
Okay. So it can be done. I was wondering about Arafat recently. He died somewhat mysteriously, frankly. The authorities in Paris, where his body was taken, won't release anything of the autopsy, tell us what he died of, or anything else. I thought for a while maybe the Mossad or somebody slipped him a slow poison. But if I didn't know better, I'd say, well, maybe he had some kind of awful curse on him, and he just sort of wasted away. I don't know.
Well, I feel that both may be in play. I feel that there is a human hand in this, and I also feel that there have been others who have plotted on the ethereal end.
But it is possible, you're saying,
oh, yes,
to find a weak point in a person's physical health and hurry it along and virtually kill them.
Yes. That's what you do when you are placing a curse on an individual. What you are trying to do, especially if you are trying to hit them in the health arena,
mm-hmm,
is you would accelerate the weaknesses of the body.
You know, I'm not sure if you followed this or not, Evelyn, but it was awfully interesting. It seems light compared to what we're talking about, but it's in the same realm. There was the awful curse of the Bambino, right?
Correct.
On Boston. Now, I read one hell of a story. It was a wire service story, and I guess it had to be true, but it turns out that some young fellow who was, I believe, at the fourth game, you know, the one where Boston was now four games behind in the series, he was out in the stands, and this young fellow actually lives in the house where Babe Ruth once lived. And somebody in that fourth game hit a foul ball, and it went up, and he tried to catch it and missed, and it socked him right in the mouth, and he bled like a pig. And they're saying that's what stopped the curse of the Bambino. It's the whole thing sounds silly until you realize it was a full wire service story. So, I mean, was it a curse? Was it really ended with blood in that way?
Yes, because blood is the sacrifice. Blood is life. And so there the spilling of the blood took the curse away.
I mean, that one stopped me cold, Evelyn. It stopped me cold. I read this wire service story and I said, oh my God, it was a curse, and it really was taken away in this strange, weird way.
And look at the grand slam they had after it.
Oh, it was a miracle. Even I sat down and watched it.
That's right,
death by baseball. I couldn't believe it. It was like a miracle. It was strange. And I also heard the other day that finally a man at 111 years of age or something gave up and died after he finally saw what he had waited for. The stories that surround this are just astounding. And while I'm sort of... I've seen things done, Evelyn. You know, I live in a household where the craft is known. And so I've seen things done, and I'm somewhat respectful of magic, but like a lot of other things in my life, I'm somewhat doubtful of it. Except for what I've seen. And that's why I wanted to talk about this curse of the Bambino thing and curses generally. What is the... tell me about a curse. I mean, is it a psychic energy that's unleashed? Or how does a curse work?
Well, Well, the first thing that you're doing is that you are selecting your subject. And if you have a subject that you can get imitative and sympathetic going, that would be, let's say, imitative would be as if you have a picture or you can make an effigy to look like the individual.
Yes.
And sympathetic magic is that which is in sympathy with the body, like hair, fingernail pairings, an article of clothing that is worn close to the body that has the essence of the body on it.
And once these curses are put upon somebody, they can last for generations. They can even be put on things like baseball teams. And
they can be put on baseball teams. They can put on a family for generations. They can also be placed on a movie. They can be placed on a director. They can be put on a business. They can be put on a marriage.
Wow. And, you know, the average American is probably chuckling, going, yeah, right. But there is a lot of this going on across America. In fact, across the world, it's
well,
all...
Look at England.
My God,
there are famous curses.
Right. It's all a giant subculture. And so the average person doesn't hear about this, but it's real, isn't it?
Oh, it's very real, and there are practitioners out there that are unsavory.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is they go after people who are innocent. And they, the innocent, have no recourse but to seek out another individual that is like me, a spiritual warrior, who can take the curse off. I call it psychic self-defense, where we remove the evil and the negativity off of that person that has been the victim and send it back to the sender threefold. Me, I do ten. Sorry.
Tenfold, huh?
Yeah, three isn't enough for me.
Well, I remember for all these years with the Curse of the Bambino, Native Americans chanted and jumped around. People, psychics, tried things, and until the blood flowed...
That's right.
Nothing happened.
Because, again, it is the symbol of life. It is the blood that is the sacrifice. Once the sacrifice of blood was made, the curse was lifted.
Curses are not to be taken lightly, are they? In other words, when they're put on, they...
Oh, honey, they'll destroy you.
They'll destroy you.
They
yes.
can destroy your health.
All right.
Your career,
all right.
Your family, your
right.
love life, any
right.
arena.
Right. So how is a mother to know, delineate that is, between just bad times? I mean, everybody has them. Life has its ups and downs, and things go wrong occasionally. How
that's
do you,
what you just said, ups and downs occasionally.
That's right. That's right. And how do you delineate between that and something so horrible, somebody in so much distress, their life is being ruined, their career is ruined, their marriage is ruined, their everything is ruined, everything's going wrong. And so what's the difference between just natural sort of a bad streak of luck and knowing it's a curse?
Because a bad streak of luck ends.
Yes,
and a curse
point.
Does not. It only feeds upon itself and then it starts to spread within the family. And it goes from generation to generation.
And it just keeps getting worse and
yeah,
worse?
Yeah, it feeds on itself. In other words, once the curse is there, now it is a living substance, and it needs to be fed. So the more that it destroys you, the more power it gathers and can continue to spread.
This power, some would call it God. I guess you wouldn't. Some would call it nature. Some religions would certainly call it nature, but almost all peoples of some faith or another, and most have some kind of faith, do believe that this power exists. It goes by many names, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. In Italian, we say, oh my God, somebody has done the evil eye or the malocchio on you, where they have placed a curse where, you know, you will not succeed in business or you will never be happy or all, you know, just so many things will go wrong in your health.
Well, traditionally, yeah, it's kind of like voodoo. I mean, I have heard that with voodoo, you know, the rap is the person who's, you know, the target has got to believe that these things will happen. And if a person doesn't believe it, it's not going to happen. It's only their own belief that adds to the power Any truth in that, or is that hogwash?
Oh, you are so right with that.
I am?
80% of witchcraft, and I'm talking about the novice practitioner out there, needs suggestibility in order to enhance the curse they're placing. But there's that other 20-25% like myself.
Yes.
I don't need to tell you a thing, honey.
Well, there is the placebo effect, right, in medicine, which doctors admit is shockingly high.
Correct.
Give somebody sugar pills, tell them they're going to be better, and by God, a healthy percentage of them, even if it's for a short time, definitely get better. So there is that effect, and it's real, and I would think it would be as real in voodoo or in magic as it is with a doctor in a controlled experiment giving somebody a sugar pill.
Correct. If I was to see you early in the day when you came to work, and the first thing I said to you, gee, you don't look too good. You know, are you feeling all right?
Yeah.
If I saw you again later in the day and I say, boy, Art.
You're a little peaked.
Yeah, are you sure you're okay? Nothing wrong?
Your coloring isn't quite
right. By the time the day is done, you're not feeling good, honey.
Yes, I know. It could indeed.
Right, that's suggestibility. But now if I told you I placed a curse on you.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and I told you explicitly what to expect. Your own mind is going to start, like the placebo.
And fill in the blanks.
To fill in the blanks. But if I am a powerful practitioner, then I do not need suggestibility. I can reach you wherever you are.
Whether I'm willing to contribute psychologically to it or not, you can get me.
Absolutely. I said it's only the initiate, the novice practitioner that's going to use suggestibility. A real practitioner does not.
A real practitioner is using magic. Is that the right word?
Correct.
And magic
is using imitative and sympathetic magic.
And magic is the manipulation of nature?
Magic is a manipulation of energy and forces, and you are calling upon the elements, okay, in order to...
Well, that's nature, right? The elements?
Yes.
The sun, wind.
Yes, earth,
moon.
Air, fire, water.
Moon?
Absolutely.
What is it about the moon?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, babe, the moon asserts an awful lot of influence over us. And the reason why, if you can picture the moon as a great receiver of all of the energies and vibrations of the other planets... And then as a transmitter, it transmits those energies and emotions and vibrations to the planet. And because it can affect all of us on many different levels, it can change our perception at times, especially during the full moon, because it works on the mind, it works on our feelings, on our behaviors. It works on our emotions.
It's true, Evelyn. It's true. I'm a talk show host. I'm in but one career where, trust me, we know when there's a full moon. Any talk show host knows when there's a full moon.
Well, you know there's an increase in crime. All you have to do is talk to law enforcement.
I know. Policemen will tell you it is true. In any career field at all where you deal with the public, absolutely, people know there's something about a full moon, and it's not fake, it's absolutely real.
Well, check your ER hospitals.
Yeah?
All right, even your insurance claims for accidents.
Yeah?
Even your animals can turn on you during a full moon.
Right.
So violence increases, crime increases, insanity happens, and that's why the lunacy... And that's why law enforcement, hospitals, and insurances dread the 13 full moons of the year.
Gee, you'd think they should issue alerts. You know?
Well, they do talk about it, but nobody really pays attention to how much the moon plays a part and influences many different levels.
Get a little note in the mail. Prudential would like you to know about the full coming moon and suggest that you stay home and watch some TV. Or something. I don't know. Maybe everybody has known about it for so long, but people sort of shrug as though, oh, well, and what else can they do, to be honest? I mean, you live life day to day, and you're going to have to go through these full moon periods. But what should people do when full moons come? Should they stay home and watch TV?
Well, what they should do is be very careful. Realize that their emotions are going to be infected, that they may very easily get into a confrontation, argument, only because they cannot control the emotions. The tides of the water within their system is being affected by the moon as it affects the tides of the ocean.
Uh-huh.
90% of us is water, honey.
So do something non-risky, or don't put yourself into a situation where you're going to get into a fight or a scrap with somebody, because it's going to be a lot worse during a full moon. I think ancients, you know, people long ago, Native Americans, others, have always understood this to be true and acted on it. Modern society tends to just go, pooey, that's a bunch of baloney, but the moon does affect us all, huh?
Yes, it does. And in ancient times, it was the sequence of the phases, meaning the waxing and the waning of the moon.
Yes.
That was attributed to loss and to gain, to fertility, as well as to planting. And moon worship is, I would say, connected to the changing of the form each month. It measures time. It signals the time of planting and harvesting of plants, especially for medicinal purposes as well as for magical. And, of course, legend has it, you know, that when the witches pass from the physical plane, where they go to rest is to the moon. The moon has always been the abode of the departed.
Uh-huh. Particularly the departed Paglinis.
Of the witches, but you know, there's an old story my grandfather used to tell me.
Evelyn, you're going to have to hold that story for the break here at the bottom of the hour. My guest is Dr. Evelyn Paglini. She is a witch. You can choose to believe or not to believe, to cast aside what you've heard as hogwash, or to accept it as something that perhaps deep in your gut you know is true. Because you can feel it like a monster growing on the horizon, casting a dark shadow across the land. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. With a tear in every room, all I want's the love you promise beneath the haloed moon. But you think I should be happy with your money and your name, and hide myself in sorrow while you play your cheating game.
With Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and you're welcome to take anything that you've heard tonight and toss it right out the window and say, what a bunch of hooey, I don't believe any of that. You're welcome to do that, but you've got to imagine that it might, just might be at your own peril. So be careful. In a few moments, I'm going to open the phone lines for Evelyn. Now, I would ask a couple of things. One, we are not going to do personal readings. No personal readings. She does that as a business. If you wish a personal reading, you can contact her. We have a wider range of questions that we're looking for here that concern the craft. That's right, the craft, witchcraft. That's what Evelyn does. And she has been a guest now many years on this program. So, once again, that's about the only rule I can think of. No readings, personal type readings. Other than that, anything your heart desires, I think, would be reasonable with respect to a question. Evelyn, you said you were going to tell something about something your grandfather said to you.
Oh, it was just a cute little story when I looked at the moon and it was full. And then I said, why all the different phases? And beside what I was learning, he gave me the story that God sent the angels down throughout the month so that he would collect the souls. And when the moon was full, that is when rebirth occurred in the waning of the moon.
Huh.
And so it was watching the moon grow full that I realized that that's where all the souls would go. And then we believe in reincarnation. And so when the waning of the moon came, I knew that there was an awful lot of rebirth going on.
I went, oh, God, because I had a guest on here, John Lear, who out of nowhere one day on the air told me that it was John, wasn't it? Yes. That there was some sort of machine or something he perceived on the moon that was collecting souls, that the moon was like a giant receiver of souls. This may have come from another source. Maybe we got it mixed up, but I think it was John.
It's an ancient legend.
So that really resonated with me. An ancient legend, huh?
It's an ancient legend. We also believe that there are beings as well as machines that are on the moon.
Well, they're pretty hardy. There's not any air to speak of there, and it looks like kind of a desolate place, but maybe not in the dimension in which they reside. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Good morning. Blessed be, Doc. And Art, I'm Jesse from Red Bay, Alabama.
Yes, sir. Hi, Jesse.
I have a comment. My spirit guide has been showing me in the last several months that around the beginning to the middle of February, there's going to be a lot of panic. There's going to be a lot of turbulence in the people in auras that I see. It also showed me to start making intercession for these things. Being a natural witch like I am, bring healing to the earth is one of the things that we want to do.
You've been shown the same things that Evelyn talked about at the beginning of the program.
Yes, very strong in several readings that I've done, and also in just meditation.
I wonder how much of that we're going to hear tonight, Evelyn.
You're going to hear a lot from people who are not only psychics, but those who are sensitive. Those who are getting it in dreams and in precognition and in visions.
That worries me. That actually worries me. One is something, many are something else again, and yes.
That's why I did the show tonight with this opening, because it was that many for me. And it worried me, Art.
Okay, let me try this out on you. 9/11 was one of the most horrible things that's ever happened to us, certainly in modern history. Very modern history. And There didn't seem to be. There are some claims. There's these psychic twins who were once on my show, and I know they claim. I have yet to hear the portion that they claim they made the prediction of that. They might have. I've got people trying to check into it right now, but there really wasn't an outpouring from the psychic community in general, the remote viewers or anybody else that 9/11 was about to happen. Doc, you know, I don't recall that.
I do recall, though, that there have been many psychics, and some I believe that were even on your show, Art, that said that there was something that was going to happen to New York City. They weren't sure what it was.
That's right. Yes, well, that's certainly true.
Several of them. I remember over the years kept coming up with Washington and New York City.
But yes.
They were not specific. They were not getting the why of it.
That much is true. We did have that. I do recall that. And
if you ask your audience, I believe you will get many emails and fast blasts of just the average person out there that had dreams, precognition, and visions, and just were not able to interpret it fully.
Yep, I'm going to get the emails now, believe me, and you are too. And oh, by the way, while we're on that subject, and before we move on here, a million people want to talk to you, but let's find out how somebody would consult you privately, how somebody would get hold of you, what contact information do you have?
Well, thank you, Art. My phone number to be reached would be 818-407-1951.
Area code 818-407-1951, right?
Correct.
And what's available?
Well,
there?
There's also the email.
No. I mean, what's available there? I mean,
can receive a free how-to catalog that will contain rituals like prosperity, better business, psychic self-defense, love, romance, etc.
You give those away?
No, I don't, but in the catalog, they can learn what to go to any metaphysical store and buy, what essential oils to use, and if they would require instructions, I will send them free.
Okay. Good enough. And
they can also write me at Mystical Blend at P.O. Box 57932, Sherman Oaks, California, 91413. And they can either put in a request for a free catalog, or they can put in a request for instructions on these rituals.
You know, that's where my network is. Do you know that? My network's down in Sherman Oaks.
Yes. There's a reason.
Yeah, you guys down there, you watch out, Sherman Oaks. Give me that address one more time.
It's Mystical Blend.
Right.
At P.O. Box,
yes,
57932.
Got it.
Sherman Oaks, California.
Yes.
91413. And there will also be some classes that I have, like the Introduction to Ritual, Mirror Magic, Day of Magic, where you can learn the craft. Those are on cassette tapes and CDs.
Mm-hmm.
As well as essential oils, candles, and herbs.
And it should be noted here that though you may decide to pick up the craft, as it were, the likelihood of your being burned alive is very small in these modern days, right?
Yes, thank goodness.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with a real thing. Evelyn Paglini, a witch.
Good evening, Art.
Hi.
Good evening, Dr. Paglini.
Good evening.
Let me first say it's a pleasure to talk to both of you this evening, and on to my question.
What's your first name?
Anna, and I'm calling from Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
Okay, Anna.
And I did have a consult with you over the phone some time ago. Somebody had put a curse on me, and you told me it was true. Yes, I did. And you sent me the stuff to go ahead and get rid of the curse, but I got kind of confused on how to do it. The 7-day candle, I know how to burn that, the reverse candle. But the image candle is what I'm confused on.
What part are you confused about? And I'll help you right now.
Okay, there's the black one representing me in my current state, okay? And the other black one representing the bad person that put it on me. And then the white one representing me in my clean state or cleansed state.
Protective state, right.
Okay. Now, after I meditate on a 7-day candle, do I go and I light all three of the image candles at once? Or do I light them individually and meditate on each one of them individually?
Well, the first thing you want to do is to remove the negativity from you. So you're going to use the female black image candle,
okay,
and you're going to burn that a half an hour to 45 minutes per day until that candle is completely burned.
Okay.
Then if you want to send it back to the sender, then you would be using the reverse image candle where you not only take it off of you, but you send it back to the person who has wished it upon you. Do not do the white candle until you are ready to put a protective shield, an impenetrable shield, that that is when you use the white candle. But must be completely burned.
Sounds worse than the instructions to a DVD player I just bought.
Actually, no, Art.
No? No? I mean, you could apparently get it wrong. I mean,
well, I have instructions, and if she did not receive them, I will be more than happy to send them out to
as
her
you
again,
said,
or she can call me, and I'll walk her through it.
Got it. Got it. Do you get any measure back, Evelyn, of your success rate with new people like that young lady who just called?
Oh, yes, very much so. They bring other friends or members of their family. I have had practitioners out there send other clients to me because it was a little bit too big for them to handle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I understand. So you do have some level of communication with others in your field.
Yes, but not to the extent where I'm discussing, you know, what they're seeing or what they're doing. They will just call me and say, I'm sending this client.
Got
it. Hopefully you can help.
Got it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. What is your first name?
Hi. It's MJ from Florence, Kentucky.
Okay.
And I listen to you on WKRC out of Cincinnati. I'm right across the river.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. You know, I've had this impending feeling of doom for a long time. I worked in New York City, and I was working for the Veterans Administration up there, and I just got itchy. I couldn't stand it. I had to leave. So I transferred into Pennsylvania, was there for a couple of years, and I got itchy again. I just, this impending feeling of doom has I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Well, did any of the doom occur after you left the apparently doomed place?
Well, 911 happened.
Yes, well,
after
it did.
I left New York.
How about Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, well, they did have the plane.
They did.
In Pennsylvania.
And so now you're in Kentucky.
Yeah, right across the river from Cincinnati.
And it's hitting you again.
Yeah, I just can't shake it. It's just literally tearing me apart. I don't know whether it's going to be something, you know, man-made, or whether it's going to be, you know, an earthquake, or, of course, we're sitting right here on a pretty big fault that most people don't even think about, but I'm just very uncomfortable.
All right. I think I've got the picture. Look out, Kentucky, or Evelyn, do you think she's just sensing the larger thing that you began the program with tonight, these warnings?
I think it's both. First of all, as far as the larger picture, what she's picking up, and it's something I really don't want to get into, because I think we've had enough doom and gloom, and you've got another person who's really known for it. I'm just going to say that what a lot of people are going to start picking up is another attack here.
Actually, you almost doomed Dr. Doom, because you laid it on awfully sort of right on us here. I mean, it's.
I had to, Art. I mean, I had it. You know me. I got to tell it like it is. It's my personality.
That's fine. That's what this program is for. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Good morning.
Good morning. Is Dr. Paglini still there?
Yes, she is. Do you have a question?
Is this Art Bell?
Yes.
Boy, you sound different.
I've been told that.
This is Barbara. I'm calling from Fresno.
Yes, Barbara.
If I had a curse put on me, would she know?
Evelyn?
I can't hear her.
Oh, yeah, you're very soft-spoken. The question was,
if I had a curse put on me, would she know?
Yes, I would.
Well, have I?
Well, I would have to have more than just your first name, honey.
All right, and you can't do that here. Moreover, we're not doing personal reading. So here's what you do. You contact Evelyn privately. We're not doing these kind of personal reading things tonight, for one reason that you just heard, that's not really possible. But it is possible to have your question answered. So, again, let me give out the phone number, area code 818-407-1951. And by the way, is that a 24-hour number of some sort?
Yes, because there will either be a person to pick it up, or they can leave messages on the voicemail. They can also go to www.mysticalblend.com. The catalog is up there, as well as a free class on the auras. I'm going to be putting another one up on palmistry. and there's an awful lot of very good links and excellent book recommendations up there.
Tell me what you can about Orus.
Well, what you can do is you can picture the individual, and when you are seeing the auras, depending on the colors that are emitted and the extension of those colors, you are able to perceive what is happening within the emotional as well as the spiritual as well as the physical body. And when you are attuned, then you are able to pick up certain maladies. You can pick up whether the person is highly stressed or emotional. You can also pick up if they have, let's say, someone that is working on them on a spiritual or astral level, because you will be able to see those colors that are going to be eating up that which is positive and putting a darker hue. So all of the colors are representative. And if they would go up to mysticalblend.com, they can learn a very good technique on how to perceive the auras.
All right, so auras are telltales of your
physical
condition, all of it, huh?
Yes.
And all you have to do is be able to see them and know how to read them.
That is correct.
Well, suppose somebody I don't see auras.
But you can go up there and take the class.
And learn how to
learn the technique, and it is not something that will take a long time for you to perceive. You may not see all the colors at first, but you will start to see emanations of color that are extending anywhere from 6 inches to 3 feet from the body.
And that's so interesting, because...
Well, you could see Carillion photography will show you that, too.
Yes. Yes, there's controversy about it, but there is that kind of photography, and in your estimation, Evelyn, does that validate the whole aura thing? In a way it does,
because it's telling you that there are energies, and those energies are assigned to a spectrum of color, and since they are interpreting it in their processing,
right,
the auras are interpreting in our level of processing. What's old is new.
Yeah, I suppose so.
They just put a new twist on it.
Sure.
They just put a new word to it.
Oh, no, I believe that. I mean, if these things are real, then they've been around probably as long as we have, and we sort of, I guess, go through periods of discovering them, forgetting them, saying poo to them, and then discovering them again.
Plus, they're being brought out scientifically and not magically, where, you know, the witches aren't talking to you about it. It's a scientific expedition that has taken place.
Well, you know what? More and more recently, Evelyn, science has begun to meet up with the metaphysical. We're only at the very beginning of that occurring, but it is starting to happen. Some of science is beginning to lean almost right over into the metaphysical area. And
there is a melding going on. It has to.
Yeah, and so more and more of this may eventually be understood and proven, and then it goes from myth or what's said to be magic to science in a blink of an eye. Anyway, listen, we're at the top of the hour, and a lot of people do want to talk to you, so hold tight. My guest is a witch, Dr. Evelyn Paglini. If you have general questions, remember, not personal readings, we're not going to do that here on the air, but general questions, things that would apply and be of interest to everybody, you know the numbers. I'm Art Bell.
It used to be so nice. It used to
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and my guest, Dr. Evelyn Paglini-Bobby from West Springfield, Massachusetts, notes, hey, Art, all I hear on the show lately is gloom and doom.
I hear lots of problems.
No solutions. Sure would be nice to see the show go in a new direction. Happiness. Discussion of the problems, the offering of solutions, all of that. Well, Bobby, that's what we have the Republicans and the Democrats for. Here we have Evelyn. Once again, Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Doctor, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I think we're going to just keep going on the phones as best we can. They're bound to bring up really, really good questions. They always do. We'll also remind me to give out your contact information again, lest I get thousands of emails, which I will. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hello.
I have a question about the best way to apply witchcraft in order to find your purpose in life.
Huh. It's interesting.
Well, are you familiar with meditation and visualization?
Yes, I'm a sort of Renaissance man, and I use astrology and tarot and other arts to help myself and my clients to try and find out why they're here and what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, then, if you would use, on a personal level, your own meditation and visualization, you can use that by taking either a white male image candle, and I would probably use an essential oil that would open you up more spiritually, and then what you will receive is information from the masters.
Great.
And through that, then you would see why you are here, what you are able to gain from this body, as well as from what you are going to be experiencing, what your soul is supposed to achieve, and maybe what karmic debt you are to repay.
Should I use my intention in any particular way?
Well, the intent is to be open like a vessel so it can be filled with the knowledge and the purpose.
Mm-hmm. To be empty.
Yes. If you go in with a preconceived idea, then what you've done is you've let your conscious mind be what I call the guardian of the doorway to the astral plane, and they're going to keep it shut.
Uh-huh.
But when you make yourself the empty vessel and you make yourself one with all things, then you are being the receiver.
That's always the best way to go.
And the vessel will be filled.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I said that's always the best way to go, to be open and not put yourself into the situation.
Leave yourself outside.
Uh-huh.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Take care. So a person really can do that. They can find out what their life should be or what their proper path is in life. Is that right?
Yes. And the further they practice it, they are going to be opening up energies that will guide them in a direction. There will be a person they will meet. There will be a book that will be placed in their path. There will be a show like on Coast to Coast that will give them the insight. The more you open yourself up to that thinking, then you are going to be the receiver of that information, that knowledge, that contact.
Well, what about the people, Evelyn, who say when you open yourself up as you've described, what's liable to walk through your door, you might not like it all?
Well, that's a very good statement, Art, because the person I was talking to was a practitioner, but a novice, then I would recommend that person to make sure if they're doing a meditation and a visualization that they get themselves a large white candle and that they call in their spirit guides, that they put a shield of protection around them so that this way when they do open up the door, they are now going to attract any low entity being.
Okay, I've got to observe something here, Evelyn, and it is that we are getting a high percentage of practitioners that are calling in. Now, okay, fine, we're doing a show on witchcraft right now, on the craft, so it would make sense that we would, but it really does beg the question that across America, across the world, I guess people don't talk about it a lot because of the stigma attached to the name witchcraft or the craft or whatever, so they don't talk about it a lot. But how many people do you imagine or do you know practice the craft? How widely is it practiced?
Very much so, in the tens of millions. I don't know the exact number, but it is extremely widespread because it crosses every religion and every culture.
Right.
Magic is universal. There are many mystery traditions out there. There are many cults, okay, whether it's in Wicca where you can call it the cult of Diana or Aphrodite. There is the Gardnerian, there is the Saxon, there is, again, your medicine man, your voodoo priest. There are many, the shaman, different practitioners, but they all use magic, and they're all going to tap into the elements and to nature. These are the forces of the vibrations that you are using as tools to assist you.
Evelyn, the traditional gypsy, you know, the gypsy, what are gypsies doing? Other than, I suppose, occasionally taking people at state fairs and that kind of thing. What is the typical gypsy practicing?
They are very psychic. They're very intuitive. Most of them have the knowledge of nature and the elements as well as herbs.
Yeah.
It's just that they tend to use this knowledge to victimize other people and to gain a monetary value.
Uh-huh.
They have never grown spiritually enough where they are taking this knowledge and helping other individuals and gaining ground spiritually. They're here on the physical plane and they're locked.
How do you suppose that gypsies came to know this power, no matter how they use it? How did they, as a group, come to know it, do you think?
Well, again, as I said, magic crosses all cultures and all religions. So no matter what culture you are from, you have been raised in a tradition and in a practice of magic.
Got it. All right. Wild card line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
Hello. Boy, this is exciting. I've been listening to you since 93, and I finally got through.
How about that? That's a long ride.
Oh, great. Well, I wanted to know, okay, I noticed lately children are hurting children a lot more. And my daughter was a victim of rape, my 7-year-old daughter, and a 12-year-old perpetrator. Okay, is there a way of getting justice without having the threefold or the tenfold coming back on you?
Well, the threefold and the tenfold would never come back on you when you have justification.
Okay, and also should
that's number one. Number two, if you're doing it something on a legal basis, there is a legal injustice package that could help you. That's a ritual.
Right.
And if you are just trying to get justice, in what manner, you'd have to let me know.
Right. And can I call on my daughter's spirit guides?
Absolutely.
And do you know their name?
No, I would have to know your daughter,
and that's
and
where
I would
we're
have
stop.
To know you.
All right, thank you very much for the call. The first part, that almost turned into a reading. We're not doing that, folks. However, she brought up a very interesting topic, and she's right. The amount of violence from children being done to children in our society is growing. Or it's the media just telling us more about it. I'm not sure.
No, it's escalating.
It really does seem like it's escalating. I guess I agree with that. It almost, Evelyn, seems like evil, real evil.
You're right on target, Art.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate fight of good and evil, and evil is running rampant. And it is our children that are being attacked on a spiritual and psychic level by evil.
Okay, got it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Art? Good morning, Evelyn. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
My question is, I'm sensitive, and I've been noticing, and I was wondering if you've been noticing, that a lot of rare animals and a lot of white albino animals, is that any way correlated with, like, the impending doom that you're talking about? Is that a sign?
Well, in ancient cultures, whether it is the American Indian culture and other cultures, state that when rare animals are born and when the white albinos are coming, mm-hmm. that is an omen. That is a sign that there is catastrophic events ahead.
Because they just, I attract them like the plague, and I don't know why.
Well, maybe you're supposed to do what you're doing now, and that is to confirm the warning.
Well, I'm confirming it for you.
Well, not just for me. See, what you're doing is confirming it for those people around you.
For others, yes.
So you're supposed to say it, and you're supposed to tell it to others so that they will take their own personal inventory and try to help themselves out of the chaos that is coming.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I wonder, Evelyn, is there any way to know, in cultures like the Native American culture, I've interviewed many Native Americans. I've been honored, really, to do a few incredible interviews in which we actually had to have translators, that kind
of
thing.
Yes, I remember. What a fabulous society.
It was incredible. At any rate, yes, they have a lot of these things they believe about seeing rare animals, about planetary passes, about signs that will be in the sky that will precede certain catastrophic events. How much weight should the average working guy, 9 to 5, who doesn't spend a lot of time thinking about this sort of thing, give to those beliefs?
I would say 100%.
You would?
Yeah. Again, they're an ancient culture. They are attuned to nature and the elements. If there is a culture in America, that is, they are. And they know how to read the signs. And the signs have been left in prophecy for them. And those signs are showing up now. You should do another show with them.
I should. I did one with Hopi elders, and it just...
They'll tell it to you like it is.
Oh, man, it scared the tar out of me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. What is your first name, dear?
My name's Jeannie.
Okay.
And I wanted to say a good song for tonight would be Everyone's Gone to the Moon.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nah, I'll just wait my turn.
You're not properly grasping everything here. Your turn came when I said you're on the air. You see? You're on the air.
Let me turn off the radio then.
Yeah, that'd be good.
There, okay.
Okay. Now let me try it again. You're on the air.
Hey, I got it now. Oh. I know it's late. I'm sorry to take so long.
It's all right. Go ahead.
Oh, it's two really quick observations. One is, and hello, Evelyn.
Hello.
One is that you
what
mentioned the curse of the Bambino.
Oh, I did, yes.
And how the bloodletting satisfied or removed that curse.
Yes.
Would that not remove the curse anytime, no matter what?
Depending on who was performing it. The curse was from a person who was living where Babe Ruth lived. In other words, there is a link, a connection. In magic, there always has to be a link.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so that was the establishment of the link. Just somebody going there and letting some blood would not have done it.
Got it. Okay. And then the second quick observation is, you talk about the moon and the effect that it has, and we all know the full moon stories. Well, do you think, you know, every time there's a full moon, isn't everybody on the whole earth looking up at that, and their mind or their consciousness is saying something? Would that not maybe affect behavior?
Huh.
I mean, it's like a mass consciousness thing because we're all focusing on that at the time.
Well, I don't believe that the entire world is focusing on the moon, whether we have a full moon or not. But it certainly, whether it is being observed or not, plays an important role on what happens to your own body, to the emotions, to the tides. And especially depending on the season you're in. Like right now, we're in the season of the wolf.
Let's jump way out on a limb here. Werewolves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Werewolves. Are these things of Hollywood and imagination or real?
Believe it or not, they're very real. And I'll tell you where it stems from, Art. The wolf has always been associated with the moon and with the goddess Diana. The wolf, especially lycanthropy, which is shape-shifting into the wolf.
Yes.
The lycans, the werewolves, they have always been used to not only represent the waning of the moon, but for destruction, for the predator, and for the protector. There are cults. There is a cult of the wolf. And these people are chosen to become werewolves or shapeshifters. And in the full moon, this is when they do that shapeshifting, and they go out to, let's say, be the predator to their enemies, or to rid those individuals who have done misdeeds or misfortunes outside of the religion. Werewolves are real. They live today as well as in ancient times.
Huh.
Lycans live.
We also have had many recent reports of these things in Florida, these things in the Northwest. In the Northwest, they call them Bigfoot. In Florida, skunk apes. They seem to be relatives. They also seem to be on the edge of reality. On the one hand, we get these incredible eyewitness detailed reports. I read one in the first hour of the program tonight, sighting in Florida. And these animals seem to be so well hidden most of the time that it's almost, there's some metaphysical element to it. There's a physical element, but then there's also seems like there's a metaphysical element to it. And that's why they're never quite found. They're not found. Bodies aren't dragged away for autopsies. How can it be unless there's some metaphysical element to this Bigfoot, this creature thing?
There is a metaphysical element, and you're right on again, Art. There are times that when there are great storms and magnetic energy plays and disbursement, what happens is there is an interdimensional or dimensional slip.
Huh.
And so these beings are able to enter physically into our dimension. They can interact with us, be seen by us, cause great harm or confusion and terror, and then also slip just as easily back into their own dimension.
Just like that. And so you believe it is metaphysical, there's an element of that, and that we're dealing with other dimensions. Which
Absolutely.
Is one of those areas, by the way, where science, certainly theoretical physics and metaphysics are now meeting, and that is in the multiple dimensions. In the old days, I remember hearing people like yourself, Evelyn, talk about multiple dimensions, and it was highly joked about, oh, ha, 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 ha. And then pretty soon, we had these people like Dr. Michio Kaku, so well-respected, suddenly saying, yes, 11, maybe more than 11 dimensions.
Yes, and maybe more, just like there's 28 mansions to the moon, but that's beside the point. I'm glad that science is catching up. And I'm glad that I'm alive to see it, Art, because believe me, for many, many years, like you said, it was all poo-poo to me when I would speak about it.
Well, there was a day when, I mean, it was comic book stuff. Other dimensions? Absolute comic book stuff. Now, the best minds in the world are beginning to talk about this. So this is a meeting of science and the metaphysical, and it's pretty, you're right, it's an incredible time to be alive. Evelyn, we're at the bottom of the hour. Hold tight. We'll come back and take 30 minutes more worth of calls. We'll also get the address and the contact info out. Don't move a muscle. Good morning. I'm Art Bell.
The mountain's high and the valley's so deep.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Indeed so. In my own defense, if you would please kindly go and get a pencil and pen or paper or whatever, we're going to give out Evelyn's contact information here in a moment, and please do not send me an email for it, because what we're about to do is give it out on the air very carefully so you can write it down and be sure of what you've got. Pencil, paper, and readiness coming right up. All right, here's the follow-through. I'll tell you what, I'll give the phone number for Evelyn, and she can give the address. The phone number, write this down, area code 818-407-1951. That's area code 818-407-1951. Now, Evelyn, I would assume, even though this is sort of a stopper number, it gets you catalogs, that sort of thing, but there probably is some way, isn't there, if the person is desperate to speak with you personally, there's probably some avenue to eventually have that occur when they call that number. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Same deal with email, I guess?
Yes.
So there you are. And the address is?
Mystical Blend at P.O. Box 57932, Sherman Oaks, that's two words, California, 91413. And they can go to mysticalblend.com, and they can contact me through there as well as pick up the catalog.
I'm curious about something. How has the reality of the Internet that we now have, which is incredible, how has it affected the craft? Has it affected the craft? I mean, I'm sure there are probably chat rooms, information exchange locations, your own Mystical Blend. Is it all over the web?
All over the web, absolutely. It is very informative. You are able to do an awful lot of search, not just on Wicca, but on natural magic, on herbs, on essential oils, candles, how to use them. Very informative. It's just a fantastic tool.
Well, you know, the old days met the new days when you can Google witchcraft. All right. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I have a question for Evelyn.
Yes.
I just want to know if she feels that the government, because Reagan used to dabble, President Reagan, the ex-president, used to dabble with, in, I think, speaking with psychics and everything.
Actually, it was his wife, Nancy.
Right. And so my question is, since all these things are happening and all these changes of laws that are happening in Washington that are affecting the average people and the lower part of the barrel, so to speak, I just want to know her feeling on, does she feel like I feel, and I'm very sensitive, and I sometimes feel like a magnet myself. Sometimes I think of things and they appear. Maybe a week later or a day later or whatever. But my question is, does she feel that somehow Washington and the government is dabbling in black magic?
Oh, what a really cool question. Is the government dealing in black magic? I know they sponsored the remote viewer program with the CIA, so it's not such an unreasonable question. Evelyn, what do you think?
I think that the government would be doing research into anything that has to do with remote viewing, the paranormal field, the ability of psychics to be able to, with intent, influence a person or a situation. And as far as practicing magic, I feel that there are people and societies out there of which maybe there would be those that are in the government, some of which might even be officials that may belong to certain societies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possibility, yes.
Certain societies.
Certain secret societies, yes, that practice magic.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient secret societies that have been around for a long, long time.
Wild card line. You're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Art. Evelyn.
Hello.
Evelyn, hi, it's Chris. How are you?
Fine, sir, and how are you?
Oh, okay. I had a quick question. Why haven't most Americans seen exactly what's going on in front of their face when it's so obvious? Or do you think there's a...
Well, you're referring to what?
The election, day-by-day things. Or do you think there's a government psychic warfare going on?
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, all right. How about phrasing the question this way? He implied that mm-hmm. the American people aren't seeing something they should be seeing clearly. He implied the election or whatever all else. So again, it's sort of the same question. Implication being the government or some powerful organization is keeping the American people from seeing what they would otherwise see clearly from his point of view.
I would have to agree, and that's why I love so much Coast to Coast, because it brings out information that most people would not get elsewhere. So I would have to be in agreement, yes.
Yes, me too. And I think that the reason that Coast to Coast is still on the air is because the government is able to say to themselves, no harm, no foul, it's Coast to Coast. A lot of people say, phooey. But what they don't understand and is that a lot of people don't say that. A lot of people understand that they're hearing something that resonates with them as truth, and it's not laughed off. So, ha-ha on them. east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. This is Brooke, and I'm calling from Rhode Island.
Hey, Brooke.
How are you?
Fine.
Well, I have something to add to the Curse of the Bambino story that I think you especially would find extremely fascinating.
Fire away.
Okay.
I hope I got the part I told correct.
Oh, well, listen. Have you ever heard of a Indian wind talker?
I have, yes.
I knew you would. Okay, on opening day of the Boston Red Sox first game, the Boston Red Sox management invited Chester Nez from New Mexico to perform a blessing and a decursing of the team.
I'm well aware that they've tried many, many, many things like that.
Well, I thought that was very fascinating because very few people have heard of wind talkers, and he is one of the only three wind talkers left out of the 29 that served in World War II and in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he'd be a great guy for you to interview on your show.
Well, perhaps he would be. Thank you. No, I wasn't aware of that specifically. Certainly I'm aware of wind talkers. But, Evelyn, again, going back to it, you do think it was, as I described, the blood.
Yes.
Aspect of it.
It is the blood sacrifice.
Certainly the fact that young
there have been many people, honey, in the occult that have tried to take that curse off over the years.
Yes.
This is the only time it succeeded, and it's the only time because of the circumstances.
That makes the curse a potentially very, very powerful thing, past the abilities of many, even with talent like yours, to get rid of it.
Correct.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hi.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
My question was about spirit boards. Is it true? I've been hearing this for a lot of years. Is it true that the wrong kind of spirits could come through there and possibly harm us?
You mean like a Ouija board?
Yeah. I didn't want to mention a brand name, but I made my own. But I saved the pointer from an actual Ouija board.
I think the brand name is Parker Brothers. The Ouija is a Ouija board. Ouija boards are an entirely interesting topic. And my assumption, Evelyn, has always been that the Ouija board is just sort of a focal point, and that because of your intent, when you and others sit down with a Ouija board, because of the intent, you throw open the rear door to your house with the possibility of anybody wandering in.
You're absolutely correct. The wood that is normally used can also be what I call a conduit for spirits. And any time that you open up the door to the spirit realm, you must make sure that you put a protective shield, because you are going to get some low entity beings that are also going to attempt to communicate, and you may open the door and get more than you bargained for. So I don't like people playing with Ouija boards unless they know what they're doing, and they put up a protective shield.
Hmm. I wonder how many of us will be over on the other side of that barrier, trying to get in, just saying, come on. Use the Ouija board. A little humor. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
I have two questions for Evelyn, and then I'll just hang up and let her answer.
Fire away.
In the Book of Tobit, there's a woman who all her life was possessed by a demon. It caused her to kill every man she married. Finally, the angel Raphael went to a river and caught a fish, took out its heart and gallbladder and burnt it in incense, and the smell drove out the demon and it fled to Egypt. My two questions are, would that really work? And why does it say that why would the demon go to Egypt?
All right. Evelyn?
Well, first of all, depending on who was performing the ritual, yes, it could work. Why it would go to Egypt, I have no idea. It may have been the intent of the individual doing the performing.
How?
In other words, when you are performing a ritual, you are not only going to remove something, but you're going to send it somewhere. Now, what was the intent behind Egypt? I have no idea. I would have to know more of the story.
Got it. But
it can be done, yes.
That does sound like something that would have worked.
Oh, yeah.
east of the Rockies. You're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Hey, Art, Dr. Paglini.
Yes.
I know I've heard you, Dr. Paglini, put yourself out as a witch, but I haven't heard you discuss yet any limitations. Are you like the be-all, end-all as far as witches go?
Oh, not at all.
You know what? I'm the one who really calls her a witch. If asked to describe herself, she'd say something else probably, right?
That's what I'd like to hear. Thank you, Art, for that.
Hey, you're very welcome. I mean, how would you describe yourself, Evelyn?
Well, you're right in calling me a witch. I am a strega, which is an Italian witch. That is the way I have been raised, in the strega or the Genesean tradition.
So you don't shy away from the name?
I'm not shying away from it. I belong to a centuries-old family of practitioners of magic. My tradition is Genesean. I was initiated at 4.
Well, then I won't feel as though I'm over-dramatizing when I call you a witch from now on.
I am a strega.
All right, strega. Hi there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Strega Paglini.
Hi. I have two little things I'd like to say. And the first one is a two-sentence quote from Robert F. Kennedy. In this time, you know, when everything is all dooms and glooms and things like that. And I think Robert Kennedy said this very eloquently for that age when he was alive. And I would like to just read it right quick. It says, "All of us might wish at times that we lived in a more tranquil world, but we don't. And if our times are difficult and perplexing, so are they challenging and filled with opportunity."
All right. Evelyn, I agree. Yeah, all right. So if all of you, what you said at the beginning of the program, pretty dark stuff, even if it happens, would you say that quote is still operative, that there will be winners and losers, opportunities and tragedy? And
that's why forewarned is forearmed.
Hear, hear. Very good. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Your program has given me more enjoyment than anything I've ever known. Thank you so much.
Well, I wish your world was wider, but thank you.
Oh, it's pretty wide. this is a question I've wanted to ask this for years. This is a question regarding the significance of cats.
Cats.
I was born on the vernal equinox. When I was newborn, a black cat that no one had ever seen before came and stayed beneath my buggy. The story has a sad ending. He ran out one day to meet my mother, and he was killed. Does this have significance?
Yes, it does. First of all, if you're talking about March 21st, the vernal equinox, correct?
I'm sorry, she's gone.
If she was born on the vernal equinox, then she has, number one, firing all 12 signs within her, and that's why she would be a very, very sensitive, very receptive, very psychic, very intuned individual. The black cat that came and placed itself under her or the buggy was there for protection, believe it or not, and it gave up its life for her.
Evelyn, the Egyptians worshipped cats.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing.
What is it that the Egyptians knew about cats that a lot of people in the modern world don't have a clue about?
Well, beside them being very sensitive, beside them being able to see and feel spirits, they are also used as familiars. And they can be used to go out and, let's say, spy or, let's say, gain knowledge or even to be a familiar, to go out and do the bidding of the individual.
Do you know it when a cat has become your familiar?
Oh, yes.
I'm always afraid to say too much on the air, but as you know, I have cats, four of them. Ramona and I have four cats. And I felt this, and I think my answer would have been, you'll know it. You'll absolutely know it when this attachment between you and a cat forms. There'll be no question about it in your mind. So this has always seemed very real to me, Evelyn, this thing between felines and humans. There's something special. The Egyptians certainly knew it, and I guess you do too, huh?
Yes, I do.
And I do in sort of a very pedestrian, just knowing way.
They will protect you. They will give their life for you. They will also communicate with you if you allow them to.
Yes.
And they will be able to give you, I would say, an awareness of things that are happening around you. They will speak to you.
Yes, I know. And I'm going to leave it at that for tonight. East of the Rockies, very quickly, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
Hello, Evelyn.
Hello.
My name is John. I'm calling from Iowa. Two quick questions. One, I've noticed whenever my wife and I get into an argument shortly after she ends up getting sick. And two, whenever I'm around people, I don't have my own emotions. It's almost to the point where their emotions are my emotions, and I don't know how to stop that.
All right. I hate to cut it short, but we'll have to hold it right there. That's very interesting. After a fight, he's noticed his wife gets ill. Anything from that?
Well, again, if I would know more, it could be one of two ways. Number one, she is ingesting, okay, that which he is putting out, which is an energy. And that, because of her own, let's say, immune system or sensitivity, may be making her ill. Also, the amount of energy that he is throwing out can do it.
All fascinating. It's a whole different world. Doctor, thank you so much. As always, an incredible visit tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me, sir.
Well, you'll be back. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. There, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Oh, man. A lot to chew on, even if you were listening casually. It has been a great weekend. Thank you all. Crystal Gale is the beautiful young lady whose voice will take us out. See you in just about a week. Good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. Magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert.